Ducks fans, are you ready? You are listening to the Ducks and Pucks podcast. This is the number one home for Anaheim Ducks talk and analysis. Here we go.
Welcome to the show. This is your host, Mike Walterslaw, my co-host, Eddie Richard. And we have a great show for you. The Ducks have played three games and have won all three games. Plenty to talk about. They start out at home. They beat Arizona in the first game. They then beat San Jose. And then they had a dramatic come-from-behind win against Detroit. They're not necessarily perfect in these three games, but they won all three of them. We're going to talk about some things going on, some injuries, some roster news. Also some stuff going on with the Ducks in terms of social media stuff and maybe laser light shows and other kind of craziness that the Ducks have started to change up and do. But, Eddie, let's talk about these games. The Ducks, for the, I guess, the third time in their franchise, start out 3-0-0. They did it back in 2006, and they did it last season, and we all know what happened last season. But what's kind of your early impression of the Ducks, you know, before diving into these games, since they've started out undefeated in their first three games?
I'm sorry, Mike. Go ahead and say that the first three games are what again?
Yeah. Ducks are undefeated in the first three?
Yeah, you know what? It feels great that the Ducks are undefeated. They're just taking advantage of being the underdogs, I guess, this season. No one expected them to do anything at all. You know, they're retooling, rebuilding, whatever you want to call it. So I guess teams kind of took that for granted, thinking they're going to just walk all over the Ducks like they did last season. But the Ducks, they have a little more pep to their game. They're a little faster this season, and they're playing a whole different system. Yeah, the first game, just like I mentioned in the previous show, it's going to take them a while to adjust, but I think they did it just fine, and I loved what I saw. They were playing hard. Troy Terry was one of the ones that I was impressed with, but it's great to see the Ducks having this start of the season. I mean, yeah, I know there's a whole bunch of hockey to be played, but I mean, just take it one game at a time. Like, when you say that during the playoffs, like one shift at a time, that whole cliche of what everyone says, but I think at this point, we don't know what we have yet. We don't know what the Ducks are going to do, if they're going to just catch fire and become a really hot, streaky team, or if they're going to go and, unfortunately, knock on wood, hopefully they don't go to that slump again. But I think we, as fans, should enjoy just taking each game of what it is and taking each celebration and not really criticizing them too much. I mean, they played well, and they got the 3-0 start for a reason. It wasn't just because other teams let them. So I'm glad, and this is amazing. I'm happy.
Yeah, you know, the first game, the Ducks won. And like you're talking about criticizing, it was kind of interesting, too, because they beat Arizona 2-1. It wasn't a dominating game. You know, the Ducks came out in the first period, and as I sat there watching the game at Honda Center, I was kind of nervous because they did not look good in the first period against Arizona, and they ended up getting that late goal. And then in the second period, they came out attacking, and it was Arizona that responded and got a goal. And then, of course, you all know that Cam Fowler scored, put the Ducks up 2-1, and that's all they needed to win that game. But there was a lot of, like, cautious optimism after the first game. A lot of people were, you know, okay, the Ducks won, but, you know, they won by one goal. They, you know, beat Arizona, who's, you know, not supposed to be that good of a team, and yada, yada, yada. It was just interesting, the commentary after that Ducks first win. But I liked what I saw. I thought the opening 20 minutes was not good. You and I have talked about this several times, that the Ducks need to play a 60-minute game, which they did not in this one, but they did get the win. I did like the fourth line, though. Grant came through with Shore to get that first goal. Shore had the shot, got blocked. Grant followed up and scored. And then you had Rowney, who also played on the fourth line. He assisted on the Cam Fowler goal late in the second period. So the fourth line did a lot of damage in this game, and that was the key for the Ducks to win. And we can talk about the other games in a minute, but if you look at it, the way this game went, and the kind of the strategy behind Dallas Eakins, is the Ducks are rolling four lines. They're not so much relying on Getzlaf and the top line to do all the minutes. And if you look at it, they're playing the forwards all the lines together. And you and I have talked about this in the past too, is these teams that are winning the Stanley Cup or at least going far in the playoffs are teams that can roll four forward lines. And even though the Ducks barely won the first game, I liked a lot of things I saw in that contest.
Oh yeah, that fourth line was amazing. They had so much energy. they took away from the other three lines. Not saying the other three lines weren't good, just that fourth line had extra fire that game. They really came out hard. It was great to see Grant, as hard as he works, get rewarded scoring the first goal of the season. And fortunately for me, I was like right a few rows from the glass to see that. So that was just really amazing. I almost spilled my beer to get up and cheer. I'm glad I didn't, because that would have been an expensive thing. But it was a great game, and I think people got upset, and I don't even know why fans got upset. I mean, we won the game, our season opener. We should be celebrating, but I know there's a few negative Nellies out there. And I think people have a misconception of Florida, and they think that – or not Florida, I'm sorry, Arizona. My mind's somewhere else, vacation. But Arizona used to be a terrible team. They have some firepower. They have some young guys that can move the puck, that can score. They have a dangerous team. They're not the Arizona we're used to playing back when it was like an easy, just go in the desert, get a tan, just like everyone thought the Ducks were by playing their backup goalies against us. Phil Kessel, of course, when I mentioned to my buddy Richard, I mentioned to him like, hey, I don't really see Phil Kessel like really doing anything. What does he do? Comes on the rush, passes the puck, they score on the Ducks. Like, oh man, great. I shouldn't open my mouth. But I think the Ducks overall, yeah, it wasn't their best game. And we talked about this. It's a brand new system they're incorporated with. It's a brand new coach. They're doing things different. If you guys haven't noticed, the training camp is closed for the public. I'm sure there's a lot of other things that are changing. It's a different style of coaching and different way that they're coming at things. So it takes them a while to kind of like pick it up and get to it. I liked how the Ducks had that more speed and they were moving the puck well. I liked Gibson's game too. I ran into a guy, Kurt, thank you for listening to the show. He's a goalie too. He mentioned how Gibson's playing the angles a lot more, and he looked great. And Gibson looked just, you know, everyone was afraid because he was, I guess, hurt or what happened. He got pulled from that game in the preseason, which I forgot about already because no one cares about the preseason too much. But I think he looked great, and I had a fun night. It's season opener. It was great, minus the beer prices, but I didn't mind. I still paid for him with a smile and got a nice Ducks win. Went to sleep happy, woke up happy.
Yeah, you know what's funny is I didn't go to the preseason games. I either watched them on TV or listened on the radio. And if you listened to our podcast last time, Eddie Richard talked about those prices. So when I went to the home opener, yeah, I mean, I was not happy at the prices. I'll tell you right now, so a double shot Moscow Mule was $30 at the game. And I was like, are you kidding me? It was a little bit less than that last year, and I get it. I know some people out there are saying, well, hey, you go to a sporting event, you go to a theme park, you pay, you know, once you go in, you pay what you get and all that. I get it, but I'm just kind of like, whoa, okay, so the prices are up a little bit more. I'm not really planning to drink too much of the game. I'm probably going to do a little bit of pre-gaming like I usually do at other places, and probably even more so this season, but you talked about it on the last show, and I couldn't really comment because I hadn't gone. Then I went and I saw the prices and I was like, oh, okay, Eddie, you were right. So that part was probably the part that disappointed me the most. But as far as the play on the ice, the only thing that kind of stood out to me for the Ducks was the power play. They had just that one attempt, but they had difficulty getting the puck set up in there, getting through the neutral zone, getting a lot of quality scoring chances on it. And we'll talk about it in the other games too. They still haven't scored on the power play. So I think that's one thing that Ducks have to figure out. And they had that difficulty in the first period too on the even strength play trying to get in there. But what I did like from the second period going on is the Ducks were able to get the puck in there. They were able to get scoring chances. They weren't sticking to the old school dump and chase that we were used to. We're not seeing that. They may do it here or there on occasion, but they have the speed and they're entering the zone. They're getting that puck in there to where another guy can get to it or fight for it at least. So the Ducks have gotten away from all that stuff that they were doing last season or last season and a half, however you want to look at it. But I did like that. I was a little disappointed that Comtois didn't get to play. If you know, right before the game, they did activate Steele and Kasha. They were good to go. They were hurt in the preseason, but then right before the game, they were ready. Then they sent Lundstrom and Comtois down. So Comtois still has yet to play in any of these games, but that kind of irritated me a little bit. I do want to see him in there. But overall, for the first game, no complaints. And when the Ducks went into the second game, Eddie, I think they even improved more. They really took it to San Jose. You know, granted, San Jose is a little bit of a depleted team, I guess you could say, with some things going on off the ice. You had some players that weren't able to play. And then obviously they just got back Patrick Marleau. If you didn't hear the news, they didn't have him, of course, for the first couple games. But the Ducks took that momentum from the first game. They carried it into the second game. They won that one 3-1 against San Jose. And I really like this game even better than the first game, Eddie. I thought the Ducks could have blown out the Sharks by even more.
Oh, yeah, same here. That second game, I had to watch it late. I didn't watch it live. I was, like, way late to the party. But what I saw, I loved. It was they were so quick. I don't know if the Sharks were just – I don't know if a Shark can freeze on the ice. I don't think so. But they look bad, and they had a rough start of the season. And they have a great team, and you can't really blame it on just one player, Evander Kane, being suspended. One player doesn't make up a whole team, and I don't think it would have made more of a difference. I think Evander Kane probably would have sniffed up the wrong tree and got his ass kicked if he would have played against the Ducks, especially with DeLaurier beating the crap out of one Sharks player. But it was just a great game, and they were flying. Gibson was on fire. It just, oh man, I wish I could go back and rewatch that game again. It was just one of those perfect games, and I almost went to the game too. I thought about going to the game. My son came back in town, so I spent time with him, which shout out to him. He listens to the show. Hopefully he becomes a Ducks fan too. Fingers crossed. But yeah, I really wish I would have took him to that game. I think the last game I took him to was a New Year's Eve game against the Flyers a really long time ago. This is years ago, like before my Army days. But it was just a great game. The energy was there. The Adidas jerseys looked amazing. Yeah, I know people were upset about they didn't really change much, but the Adidas versions of the third jersey look just straight fire on from TV. I wish I would have saw them live. But I think the Ducks played pretty much a perfect game. And you're right, Mike. They could have beat the Sharks a hell of a lot more. The Sharks are already down, and they just kept stepping on them. And, I mean, man, if I can go back in time, I'd go to that game live, because that's probably, I mean, yeah, it's only the beginning, but I think this is going to be one of the best games the Ducks played this whole season.
Yeah, that game got off to a really good start, like you were talking about. Andre Casse did really good in the beginning. He had the turnover behind the net. You know, Dell was in net, and Kasha intercepted the puck. Fired it to Delzato. Delzato was in for Holzer and scored that first goal. Put the Ducks up, you know, 1-0 in the first period. The Sharks did battle back. Logan Couture got a goal. But then the Ducks got a couple more goals back. They had Getzlaf acting like he was, you know, 21, I guess, going crazy to the net and flying around Dell and faking him out of his jockstrap, like I said. And he scores a great goal to make it 2-1. And then, of course, Henrique comes in there with some moves of his own and burns one over Dell's shoulder for a goal. So the Ducks, you know, the second period, they gave up that first goal to the Sharks, but they really could have had three or four goals in there. Like I said, Kasha with some good passes in there on the first goal and the second goal. The Ducks were just all over San Jose in that second period. They won the faceoff battle in this game 61% to 39%. The only probably bad part about the game really for the Ducks is that they gave up too many penalties. I know Coach Akins is talking about not taking unnecessary penalties. The Ducks did give the Sharks 4 power play attempts in this game, but the Sharks couldn't convert on any of those power play attempts. So that was probably the only drawback in that game. And then I guess another key point that, Eddie, you really harp on is about the Ducks being the Dirty Ducks. And as we talked about, when we mention that, it doesn't mean going and hitting people late or doing things after the whistle or trying to injure players. But in this game, especially because it's a rivalry game, we know when the Ducks play the Sharks and when they play the Kings, stuff happens. But you saw DeLaurier go out there and drop the gloves. That got the team pumped up. Something we hadn't seen as much maybe so last season, maybe towards the end when the team was getting more frustrated or whatnot. But he came out and fought. I felt like the team got behind that. It was the right timing. And that, you know, in that second period, like I said, a whole lot of stuff went the Ducks' way, and they just never looked back after all that. It's just almost a complete game for the Ducks. Like I said, other than taking a couple penalties here and there, I thought this was a really well played game by Anaheim, Eddie.
Oh yeah, I definitely agree. And Uncle Rico's goal was straight out dirty. That was so beautiful, just the way he played it. And then Getzlaf, I don't know if Getzlaf's been hanging around with Ovechkin. They went back in time and they got a little younger, but that was like old school vintage Ovechkin style of goal. And I love seeing that from Getzlaf. Yeah, come on, we all expect that Getzlaf to make those beautiful moves, get past all the players, deke the goalie, then the last second make a pass, but he decided to shoot. And he scored a great goal, a big goal too. And Henrique's goal, I could keep looking at that and looking at that. It's just, I feel like getting a napkin out of my closet right now, wiping my face, and I'm drooling over that goal. It was just, it's so amazing. But you're right, Delorier's fight too happened at the right time. It wasn't just one of those things. It energizes the Ducks. The fans probably went nuts about it. Man, it was an overall a great game. I loved seeing this from the Ducks. And with the penalties, I think I'll probably shy away and disagree with you a little bit, saying too many penalties. As long as they can kill them and they're able to, you know, put the Sharks back on their toes and frustrate them by not scoring on a power play, and just throwing that more physical edge and knowing that they're going to be up in their face all game and showing other teams like, hey, this team's back to that. You know, they're going to be one of those teams that are top in the penalty minutes. We have to like step up our game and we have to keep our head up that extra time and watch out what we're going to do. Now, I'm not saying go ahead and take some stupid penalty by some hooking penalty or throwing your stick at someone or something outlandish like that. I'm talking about just getting up in players' faces and not being afraid to sit for 2 minutes and have confidence that your team's going to kill that penalty. And that just drains the other team and frustrates them. So that's the only thing that I can say about the penalties. I rather see that Dirty Ducks, and like you said, Mike, and I want to reiterate that again because I don't want people taking this and saying that I'm trying to like tell the Ducks to go hurt people, because hell no, I would never want to see a player injured or hurt at all from either team, but I want them to be a little more dirtier, and I want other teams to come in and like a heart before being afraid to play the Ducks. And I think the Sharks, when they play the Ducks again next time, yeah, they're going to want some revenge, but they're going to think in their mind like, this team's no joke, and they're going to come out firing. And hey, if Evander Kane's playing or whatever, if another player wants to come and step up and take a run at one of our players, we have, you know, we have the muscle behind that with Delorier. And if Nick Ritchie gets back in that lineup against the Sharks, both of them in the lineup, we have muscle to back our stuff up.
Yeah, you're right. The other part about, we talked about, like you said, the Dirty Ducks is going towards the net and getting in those corners and doing those things to hound the puck, get the loose puck and things like that. And the Ducks, you look at these first two games, all these goals, other than really Delzato's, which was a bad turnover, which Kasha, you know, created that play. But if you look at the other four goals, you look at Grant and Fowler's goals in the first two games, you look at Getzlaf and Henrique's goals in the second game, all of these goals were the players going to the net. And that's something that we talked about the Ducks lacking last season. They weren't really doing that, and they weren't trying to go after those pucks and create those turnovers and force those bad passes and get into the corners and things like that. And that's a lot of what I saw in the first two games that I really, really liked with this team, is just their overall energy on the ice. You talked about their speed, and we're not just talking about them skating fast. We're talking about the forecheck. We're talking about hustling. We're talking about changing, you know, the angle that they make those passes at and things like that. And I really saw that in these first two games, and the way that the Ducks started going towards the net and trying to get rebounds and things like that. And that's what that team needs to do. I mean, every team needs to do it, but this Ducks team starts to remind me of, you know, 2 or 3 years ago, and that's how the Ducks were. And they get some of these goals that, hey, maybe they were a sloppy goal, but it's a hard-working, gritty goal, and you need some of those to win these games. And that actually ended up happening in the third game. The game, as we're recording right now, we're right after the Detroit game, the Ducks... This game was different than the other two. This one was a complete racetrack of a game. It looked like Detroit was going to blow the doors off the Ducks in the first two periods. They got a late goal in the second period, but then the Ducks battled back, and they did just what I was talking about, Eddie. Raquel went towards the net, had the puck deflect, it looked like 2 or 3 times off of his body, and it went in. You had Nick Ritchie going to the net, which we'll talk about. I know a lot of you out there are not happy with him, but he got to the loose puck at the side of the net, banged it in for an easy score. And then we saw Silfverberg with his laser of a shot, and the Ducks rallied in this game, and they won 3-1 over a red-hot Detroit team that had scored 9 goals in their first 2 games. You had Mantha that scored 4 in their second game. You had Bertuzzi that's been on fire scoring a bunch of goals as well. Their top line has been very, very good for them. And it didn't look good for the Ducks in the first 2 periods. I was kind of disappointed in this game in the beginning. I thought that they were going to play better to start the game. But it did remind me, Eddie, of the comeback Ducks too. You know, the comeback kids, so to say, a couple seasons ago when we remember the Ducks would get down after 2 periods and it didn't faze them. And a big key in this game too was they challenged a goal by Detroit. It looked like Detroit was going to go back up 2-1 in the third. The goal was overturned. The Ducks scored 2 quick goals. Big momentum change, and the Ducks pull out the win. So it wasn't the way I wanted them to start, but it was definitely a character win in this game. And you need those kind of games. And I think this game too is just going to add to the momentum for the Ducks on this road trip.
Oh yeah, definitely. The Red Wings were coming out flying. They were. It started off hot. No one expected anything, just like the Ducks. Everyone thought they were just, okay, they're in rebuild mode. They have a few, you know, good pieces. But this team came out, and their top line has been just absolutely destroying teams lately. They've been having a ton of points. The goals have been there. It's a good matchup. And coincidentally, oh, I'll let you talk about this day in history a little later. I'll skip that part right now because that's something to talk about too. But the Ducks came out and they just had that fight, and they're hungry. They're starving this season. I love what I saw from this game. I know people were worried. I was a little worried about this game. Like, okay, you're going against a red hot Red Wings team. Ducks are, you're not sure if you're hot or not. You're kind of in that warm stage. Everyone's talking about the Red Wings, and I saw a post on Twitter, oh, the Ducks are done. NBC posted undefeated teams. I saw a few things. Oh, after today, Ducks will be defeated, blah, blah, blah. But no, they came out strong, and they didn't give up. They let the first goal go in the second. After that, they just took control of the game. They played well. Gibson played amazing. His bottom game, that was a problem before, that five-hole area and those low shots. He was just everywhere. That first period, Gibson made so many great saves. He was part of the reason the Ducks won, too. And the Ducks just, they didn't give up, and they fought hard. And this is the kind of game I like to see from the Ducks. And let's say if things didn't go, you know, the Ducks' way, bounces in, went the wrong way, Ducks would end up losing this game. I wouldn't have been that upset if the Ducks lost this game, because I thought they played well. They played great. This is probably, it's not my favorite game of the season, the only third game for the Sharks one was, but this was a really good game to watch.
Yeah, I think the huge part in this one, like I said, was really in the third period. Larkin scored a goal, and it looked like Detroit went up 2-1. Credit the coaching staff of the Ducks. They decided to challenge the play, and you know, if you lose a challenge, it's a 2-minute, you know, penalty against. Key moment in the game, it's 1-1. The goal stands, it's 2-1 Detroit. So they ended up, you know, seeing the replay. It was very, very close in the replay. I mean, I want to say it was offside by, you know, like half a millimeter. I mean, it was very, very close. We posted the video on Twitter if you didn't see it. And I'm not complaining, of course, but it was close. I think it was the right call, but it was very, very close. And the Ducks ended up turning it around and winning. Again, you know, the special teams play in this game. The Detroit had a couple chances. They didn't score. The Ducks had 3 power plays, and they weren't able to score. And that's probably one of the things that kind of concerns me a little bit after these 3 games. Yes, the Ducks are 3-0-0, and trust me, I'm ecstatic about that. But if I'm going to be a little bit of a Debbie Downer, I guess, it's a little bit on the power play. The Ducks have not scored yet in the 3 games on the power play. Granted, on the penalty kill, they've been perfect, not giving up a goal. So, you know, you kind of give and take there. But overall, I like this as a character win. They came back. They didn't give up. They could have been down 2-1. They got a call that went their way, and it should have gone their way, but then they took it and ran with it and basically put down the gas in the third period, and Detroit didn't have an answer. So a very good game. Like you said, Gibson looks a lot better. He really, I think, played phenomenal, especially in the beginning, Eddie, like you talked about. His positioning looks a lot better. Granted, they had a couple post shots that they got lucky with in this game, but overall, I mean, you're playing a dangerous Detroit team that's, you know, blew out the first 2 teams they played. And granted, they played against some backup goalies. I get that. But still, they'd scored 9 goals in two games. I don't care who you play. That's a ton of goals in hockey. And for the Ducks to hold them basically to one goal, it's pretty phenomenal. So I was happy with this game overall, Eddie. I don't know what your thoughts are on this game or just on any of the three games so far.
I think the Ducks have scored some great goals in all three games. You had Cam Fowler with a beautiful Bardowski, and then you have Rico, another Bardowski with a backhand, and then I think Richie's goal too. A lot of people are talking about and speculating about Nick Richie this season. It's been for a while, and I get it, and I understand where you're coming from. You guys are posting the what-ifs a lot. What if we drafted X, Y, and Z? Yeah, I mean, we can what if all day, but, you know, the reality of it is we picked this player at the, you know, number 10 that we got him at, and we're hoping for the best. He does give that physical game, and I saw something I liked a lot of him. He was getting to those dirty areas, and he scored a goal. He got rewarded for it, and he didn't give up on a play. The puck was right there, and usually last season a few times, and even with Perry too, which we all love Perry, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with him, but there's times where Perry was just kind of like lazy around the front of the net and around those dirty areas and didn't really hustle that much. And same with a lot of the players last season, and I don't blame them. It was a bad season, and I'm pretty sure they had some, you know, different opinions and negative thoughts about the coach they had last season. But Nick Richie just crashing that net and scoring that beautiful goal after getting scratched, you know, you can go either way. You can be like, hey, screw this team. I'm just going to go out there and go through the motions and earn my paycheck. I'll just, you know, either be traded or sign with another team next season or whatever. No, he went out there. He took that scratch like just like nothing. He went out there. He played hard. He played tough. And he got rewarded with a beautiful goal. I think his goal was well deserved and earned.
Yeah, that was a big goal, I think, for him, because, like you said, I seen a lot of comments out there about people saying, hey, you know, Comtois was recalled on the road trip, you know, Sam Steele went back on the IR, so then people were thinking, you know, with the roster and trying to, you know, stay within the 23-man roster, what's going on with this? Is Richie going to get traded? You know, as of right now, I don't see it. I don't see him getting traded. You know, come the trade deadline, if this is the only goal he gets, then yeah, maybe we can revisit that topic. But a lot of people speculating on him getting shipped out, you know, ASAP, you know, right then and now. And I don't see that. The way this team's playing, Dallas Eakins is really big on playing the four lines. And he's done that so far. He's not relied on the top line so heavily. And that was the problem we've seen before with Carlisle. It was like the first two lines would play most of the time, maybe the third line, then the fourth line didn't exist. This team's playing. They're rolling everybody. And I like what I'm seeing on the offensive side of the puck. And then on the defensive side, he's putting Lindholm and Manson together. And they're out there to shut down the opponent's top lines. And so far, between them and, of course, Gibson, obviously, you know, the Ducks have given up just one goal in each of these three games, which is a club record to start of the season, giving up just three goals and to start the season in these first three contests. So I like that. He's got Fowler and Gouley. They're that second pairing. They're kind of that speed counterpunching duo, and they've been doing well. And then they've been rotating that the third pairing. They've had Holzer and Delzato in there. I thought Holzer kind of had a little bit of a weak game in the season opener. He kind of got out of position, made some mistakes here and there, which is kind of uncharacteristic of him. Usually he's not going to get you any goals. He's not going to do anything fancy. But usually he's pretty consistent with his passes and defense. He was a little bit off. So I like them putting in Delzato. Obviously it paid off in that second game. Getting that goal. Again, it was Kasha that created that play, but still, he fired it home into the net and got that, you know, early goal for the Ducks. So that's what he's been doing, and I like what I've seen so far. And like you talked about, Eddie, they're playing with speed, they're moving their feet, and they're getting into those dirty areas. They're not just dumping the puck. They're making a couple consecutive passes in a row, which had been problems before too. A lot of times getting to the neutral zone, which that was a problem I saw in the first period against Arizona and the first period against Detroit, getting through the neutral zone. But for the most part in these three games, the Ducks have been able to move the puck and attack and not sit back so much or get frustrated and overall, I mean, I'm not going to say give them an A plus these first three games, but you have to like what you're seeing, Eddie. They're 3-0-0, and they're playing completely different than they did from last season.
Oh yeah, I 100% agree. You do what it takes to win. It might not look pretty, but you know what? Look at the Blues. A lot of their wins last season weren't pretty. A lot of their wins during the postseason weren't pretty, but they still accomplished the main goal of every fan and team's wish of the season is win the Stanley Cup. I'm impressed what I've seen, and I was nervous, especially coming a new season, new coach, and how the Ducks are going to respond. Yes, they're still retooling, and I'm throwing my little two bunny ears, whatever you call them, the quotes in the air. They're still retooling to do, but I think this team is trending in the right direction. And as long as they keep improving in all the stats that they need to work on from last season, then I'm all for it. Yes, I understand. This undefeated streak's not going to last forever. I just want them to keep improving game by game on those little things. And like Bob Murray says, retool. Like, just retool your game. Hey, if you go on a slump, retool your game. Change it up. Shoot differently. Shoot. Yeah, rotate your wrist and shoot. Shit, close your eyes and shoot. Just do something different to get a different outcome. And have a coach that backs you up if you want to try something different. Like what Cal talked about in a recent article before. Just go ahead and do something that's going to go out there and make you change the game up to get a win. That's the most important thing. And like you said, Mike, the Ducks scored, what, 3, 6, 8 goals in the last three games and only allowed one goal each. And that's amazing. And for those of you who are listening to the podcast and you watch the games, go ahead and tweet us, Facebook us, or Instagram us your favorite goals of those 8 the Ducks scored. And I will send you a lanyard. So go ahead and just tell us which goal, which player scored it. On social media, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and we'll go ahead and shoot you out of the Ducks lanyard.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of good highlights from these first three games. Like you said, all these goals. And yeah, I mean, what a change. The Ducks have started out strong. Granted, they started out 5-1-1 last season, and then they collapsed, but it's different. I mean, we'll see when we get to that 6-game mark where they're at this season, but they're not relying on Gibson all the games. Obviously, there's been moments they have, like I said, a couple periods here and there, but it hasn't been the full 60 minutes where he's gotten frustrated and they've had to just be like, okay, we're just going to hope he stops everything and maybe we'll win 1-0, right? You know, that kind of nonsense. So you're not seeing that anymore. You know, another change that I think is kind of interesting too, Eddie, and we don't know if this is going to hold for the whole season or not, but the first two home games, the Ducks did not have mandatory morning skates on game day. And then they did have one for the game against Detroit. So I don't know what's going on with that. I don't know if it's going to be just kind of whenever Coach Akins feels like it or if it's going to be a home game, away game thing. But it's kind of an interesting point about this whole morning skate thing because certain teams do it, certain teams don't. It seems like the league has gotten away from it now. I'm kind of curious. I know you play hockey and whatnot. And what do you think as far as, you know, should a team have an optional skate so that way they can, and you know, rest up and then be ready for the game? Or should they go out there and practice so, you know, they're ready for the game? Because there's kind of two trains of thoughts is that, hey, you should just kind of take it easy in the morning, maybe go over some film or whatnot. And then other people are like, no, you should get out there and work out the kinks. Go over some special teams plays or different set plays and then be ready for the night. So I'm kind of curious what your thoughts are on the morning skate on game days.
I kind of like them. I just like the fact that I'm forced to get up. Like, you know, hockey when I play, not now anymore, when I played competitive hockey, and not just beer league, but competitive hockey, and when I played sports in high school and college, the little college I played sports in, I like getting up early and forcing, you know, it's forcing me to get up. Yeah, I hate it, but it gets me out with the team. And we're all talking crap about how we hate being up. And it just gets us, you know, like, ready for the day. A good example of it, when I was in the Army, and in the Army, we were forced to get up 4:45 and be there by like 5:05 and work out together. And when you're there, you hate it. It's absolutely just, I dread it. And all we do is spend, I want to say 99% of the time, talking crap about how much we hate it. And I'm watering it down trust me, we say a lot more than just crap. And, and some of you active Army and vets that are listening are military. You guys know what I'm talking about. But it kind of makes us grow as a team, and it starts off the momentum of the day. It just starts you just, okay, once you're done with it, you feel better. Because I always feel better. After I work out, okay, it's like, okay, I'm ready. Like, I don't want to go to sleep. I just want to be ready for the day. So I like that aspect of it. And then also, someone was talking to me about that. We talked about it offline too, Mike. I think this morning skate was incorporated because of the old school hockey before players started playing video games. A lot of the players would go out and pretty much have a great night, be inebriated, be drunk. So they wanted to just sweat out all the alcohol. I think it's, you know, it's a good way. But like overall, I'm more, even though I'm not that old, I'm still more old school. And I like the traditional morning skate. It forces you not to go out and make some bad decisions. Especially as a professional hockey player, you have the money, you have the looks, you have that, you know, girls, whatever, guys, whatever you're into. It just forces you to have a commitment in the morning. And you don't want to let, you know, your team down. You don't want to let your fans down. But, I mean, all the players you play with, they're your brothers. And you definitely don't want to let your family down. So I still think it's a good idea. Yeah, I mean, not every single game have a morning skate, but I mean, just kind of regulate it some way. Like, and not even a morning skate. Hey, let's just get up and have a breakfast together. Let's go for a walk. Like, something to get you out and active and just kind of set the tone for the day.
Yeah, I think that's where I kind of lean towards too, is maybe not necessarily having to skate in the morning. I definitely think the players should get together. I think that they should review the film and go over plays and talk about things. And like you said, put them in the mindset of, hey, you can't go out and party as much, which I agree with you. Back in the day, it was different. You know, players used to smoke. They used to drink. They used to get cray-cray, you know, and do all these things. And now the younger generation is, you know, they're all on their social media. They're all on their video games. They're all into their diet and their protein bars and protein shakes. They're a lot more disciplined than the players were in the 60s and 70s. We all know that, and that's just every sport in general. So I think they should get together and do stuff, but it just depends. I think, too, if you have a team with a lot of veterans, and I've seen it go both ways. Some guys say, hey, you know, you want to rest up your vets and not skate as much in the morning. But then I've seen the other people argue and say, well, no, I want to go out there because it takes me longer to warm up and I want to loosen up in the morning. So I think a lot of it depends on the makeup of the team. But I'm with you. They should get together and do something in the morning, whether it's get together and eat and go over film or a light skate or something. But so far, what Aikens is doing is working. They had two optional skates, and then they had one in the beginning of the Detroit game. So it'll be interesting to see what they do for the rest of the season. And if any of you have, you know, your thoughts or opinions on that, weigh in. I'm really curious to see what you think, because there's two trains of thought. Some people think that they're kind of going, you know, bye-bye and to, you know, to the wayside, and others think that they're still necessary. And I think part of it too, like you mentioned, Eddie, is situational too. Like the Ducks have this road trip coming up here, and they're going to play a couple games. You know, they're going to play Pittsburgh and Columbus. So if you weren't going to have one, you would think they probably wouldn't have one on the, you know, the second game of the back-to-backs against Columbus, which is, you know, a lot of teams don't do that. Usually it's just an optional skate, which makes sense too. So for me, it really depends on how many injuries on the team, the status of the team, scheduling and whatnot. But I'm with you. They should get together and do something. Get the guys together, at least talking, like you said, hanging out and going over some of the plays and whatnot, even if they don't necessarily get on the ice. So, like I said, if you have any comments or concerns or questions about that, or you want to weigh in, same thing. Weigh in on social media. Let us know what you think about morning skates. If they should go bye-bye or if they should keep them, or if you think it's somewhere in between. So go ahead, Eddie. Did you want to weigh in on it one more time?
No, I just want to touch on the – yeah, you guys are more than welcome. This is your podcast. This is your page. Like, we do this for you. I mean, if we wanted to talk about things, you know, amongst yourselves, we wouldn't do a podcast. We'd just get together, Mike and I, and just talk about just whatever we want to talk about. But this is your show. This is your podcast. This is your social media. You want to weigh on anything, feel free to tweet, Facebook, Instagram, anything. Send us an email. Just message us directly. We appreciate that. We appreciate all the feedback. Like I said, this is your show too. So whatever you want to talk about, whatever information you have, I mean, let's chat it up and talk. I'm always open to talk to any fans about anything. And the few fans that listen to this show that message me frequently on Facebook, it's mostly, and Twitter, I mean, I love talking hockey. So, I mean, I like how you set that and brought that up, Mike.
Well, you know, we usually do a poll question too each week. And then that gets me kind of to the next segment, if you will. We talked about the Laser pregame show, which the Ducks did it for the home opener. And then at that time, they weren't sure if they were going to do it for the second game. And then they did do it. It's still up in the air if they're going to do it for the rest of the season or not. From some of the team members that I've talked to in the front offices and whatnot, they're looking at different options and they're not sure if they're going to carry it on or not. But I saw a lot of mixed kind of reactions. Some people didn't like it. I know some people kind of said, okay, well, they brought it in, but you know, it's like too little too late, which I'm kind of like, well, at least they did it finally. I mean, I'm the opposite. I'm like, better late than never. I mean, I get it. The Ducks are a little bit behind in their like pregame special effects, if you will. You know, some of these other teams have some pretty wazoo things going on, like the Vegas Knights and whatnot. You know, I mean, you know, that's just the way some of these teams are doing things now, but they did it. And we did a poll question on it, and it was like over 80% of you did like the pregame laser show. So we'll find out if they're going to, you know, continue it on the next homestand, which is going to be a little bit of ways, another week or so. But I liked it. I know the fans in the 300 and the 400s liked it. You could see it pretty well. I guess the fans in the 200s couldn't see it as well. Too bad for you, because I sit in the 400s. Sorry. That's where I'm at. I'm usually in the 400s. Once in a while, I get lucky. I'm in the 300s, but overall, I liked the show, and I was talking to Phil Hewlett about it, and he was talking about how it was more of a retro feel, and some people had mentioned that. They're like, oh, well, it's kind of an old-school feel, but I like that. I like that retro, you know, 70s, 80s type feel to it. I don't know. I thought it was good overall. It's a little late. I wish they would have done it sooner, but overall, I liked it, Eddie, and if they decide to do something similar for the rest of the season, I'm all for it.
Yeah, I definitely agree. My favorite part was when I watched it, because I didn't see it live, but just hearing Phil Hewitt's voice, it just felt like I was home again. It felt that warm, welcoming feeling when you hear just him announcing. It's just like, okay, I'm home. I didn't watch it live. I have a thing with like lasers and things like that. I had crap blow up my face, a SIM grenade in the Army, so I don't really like watching lasers live like that, so I had to watch it from a fan that posted it on Ducks Nation. I don't recall the name. I apologize, but if you're listening, thank you for posting it. I rewatched it. Some highlights that I really did like is the purple and kind of like bluish color around the rink when they did that. That was really awesome. I love the video the marketing or video team did the whole time during the score, like on the scoreboard during that thing. It was just amazing. The high definition, I was watching it from Facebook, Ducks Nation message board, and it felt like I was there. And then I like when every player was mentioned out, all their like their number was displayed on the ice. I think that was really cool, and I just liked how the Ducks are willing to adapt something different and change. Yeah, I harp on it. I'm a creature of habit. I hate change, but I think, you know, despite me not liking laser effects in my face, I like the fact that Ducks are going out there and trying to make a better fan experience. And that shows a lot from that organization. And they want more fan engagement and involvement, and we should praise them for that. So next time when Buffalo comes and visit us, when they have their GM and coach Eichel, when he comes and visits us on the 16th of this season, I mean, we should show some gratitude and cheers like extra louder. Like, if you guys don't like it 20%, you know, trust me, I'm with you with the laser thing. But hey, you know what? They're actually trying to do something different for the fans, and I appreciate that. I love the gratitude. And you know what? Next time I'm there, and I'm probably gonna be on that game when they play Buffalo, and I'm gonna cheer my ass off, even though I don't like the laser thing. I just still appreciate the whole change of it, and it's not too bad. I mean, like, for people that were, you know, military too, and have those triggers with colors and things in your face, it was kind of good to see, you know, watching it after. So I applaud them for willing to make a change, and they made other changes too, and they're just trying to, you know, engage fans more and be there for fans, and you can't fault them for that. I love it.
You know, another change that they made too, Eddie, one that we talked about for a while, and I know you and I aren't the only ones. I know a lot of you out there talked about it too. The Ducks finally made a Wild Wing social media account. They put together a Twitter account. They put together an Instagram account as well. And so they finally did that. That was something that a couple people within the organization, I suggested to them, and they butt heads with me on it. And I know other people did as well. And I was happy for them to finally do that. And yeah, again, like, they should have done it a long time ago. I get it. It's the same thing with, you know, upgrading the pregame show. But like you said, Eddie, I mean, they're listening to the fans. They're trying to engage the fans more. They're doing more things that are fan friendly. So I'm happy that they're bringing in an official Wild Wing. Like I said, it should have been, you know, several seasons ago, but finally they listened and they're doing that. So to me, the organization is going in the right direction, trying to do more things, you know, and listen to the feedback of the fans and get people more engaged and excited about the game. So there's an official Wild Wing. If you didn't see it, it's on Instagram and Twitter. Posted out some links about it. So you'll see him tweeting out some more stuff. And as we record today is the Ducks' actual anniversary of their first game ever, October 8th, 1993. You remember they played Detroit, and the Ducks ended up winning today. But of course, they lost the very, very first game. And that was the first regular season game that they had ever played. And the first one I ever went to is when I first became a Ducks fan. So the Ducks got a little bit of revenge this time around, beating Detroit. And, you know, you can kind of celebrate that, hey, you know, now they finally got a Wild Wing too. It took them 20 plus years, but they ended up doing it. And granted, we didn't have Twitter and all that stuff back, you know, in the early 90s. It wasn't what it is now, obviously, with all the social media and stuff. But you got to like the direction that the organization's going in overall, Eddie.
Oh, yeah, I can't agree more with you. We did beat Red Wings, I think, for their 21st anniversary last home opener too. So that's
correct. Yeah. Correct.
So we can rub that in their faces as well. But yeah, it's awesome to have that. I want to give a big shout out to at Wild Wing NHL. He has been harping on this, or whoever he or she, I don't know, person personally, whoever's running that account has been harping on just trying to get the Ducks to get a Wild Wing count as well. And so a big shout out to him, and I hope he still continues to do what he does, or he or she, whatever. I love the page. I suggest you follow them. But I'm glad the Ducks took that step this season and brought their official Wild Wing to social media. And they're not being really silent or conservative about it. They're going out there with the bang. I mean, they're not gritty, crazy. They're not crossing, you know, some borderlines like Bailey does, but they're right in the middle where it's okay, it's cool, it's good to have it. I'm glad that the Ducks stepped up and did that, and I suggest you follow both accounts at Wild Wing ANA and at Wild Wing NHL. You know, one's a fan account, one's the official account, but they're both equally great in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right, too. The person running the other account was harping on the Ducks, too, and he and I had several conversations about it. So finally it got done, and I know a lot of you, it's not just us. Like I said, I know a lot of you out there felt the same way. So it's out there now. That's done. So, you know, like I said, the Ducks are doing some more things to get engaged with the fans and be more widespread on social media, which is a good thing. Kind of getting towards the end of the show here, we'll kind of wrap up. We've talked about the Ducks and everything. Not too much league news. I know Patrick Marleau's back with San Jose, which was some news that came out today. So the Sharks might be turning things around, even though they lost again. They've lost their first four games. But what other kind of league news did you want to cover, Eddie, as we wind down the show?
It's not too much. I have just a couple of things to say. But before I get to that, I want to just talk about CoolHockey.com, one of our sponsors. If you guys haven't heard of Cool Hockey, I suggest you check them out. I have about 10 to 12 jerseys that I bought from them, officially licensed jerseys. They're great quality, great price. They're officially licensed, great jerseys. They have this new, back again, the mystery box is back. What they do now is you pay a certain amount of money and you get a mystery jersey. And they have the Adidas jerseys. And this year is different because they can give you a different size. Yeah, it's kind of a gamble, but for some of you hockey studs and nerds like me, just grabbing a jersey for the price they give you is amazing, and I like collecting jerseys, so that's cool. This year, they're actually throwing in, besides, you know, an autographed jersey, a special jersey you can get, they're giving you a one lucky fan that orders it a $1,000 gift card. So if you're listening to this podcast, you go to CoolHockey.com, and if you win that gift card, hey, Mike and Eddie, we'll give you our sizes. You can send us a jersey our way. But yeah, so go ahead and check out CoolHockey.com, and we thank them for being our sponsors. And as far as league news, I want to throw out James Neal. James, the unreal deal last season, actually came out and scored 4 goals. I want to make fun of him. I don't like the guy. I don't like the way he plays against the Ducks. But just seeing a guy struggle so much last season and having success this season, you know, cool. Good for him with Edmonton. And then Lucic, another guy I'm not really fond of. And one of my buddies, Nate, pointed it out to me. Lucic fought in each one of his team's 4 debuts. So he fought Nikita Zadorov in Colorado when they played the Avalanche. Zadorov's a big physical player. He goes around throwing his body around. Lucic didn't like it. He goes and hits him. He doesn't respond. And they get into the fight. So it's just, you know, it seems like that trade between both teams is paying dividends. And I think the change of scenery is something different. And I think it's working for both of them. And you pointed out Patrick Marleau signed, he only signed $100K, but he still gets paid because Carolina bought him out. Patrick Marleau, yeah, he's a Shark, whatever. But we have to respect that. He's been a veteran. He's a veteran player. He's been around forever, and I mean, I respect him a lot, just as a hockey fan, and I wish him the best of luck, except when he plays the Ducks, period. Pittsburgh Penguins, he lost Malkin for a few weeks. That's going to be hurtful, especially, you know, when they play the hot Ducks coming in October 10th.
Yeah, just real quick, too, on the Patrick Marleau, is about $700,000 is what it was. I think you mentioned $100,000. I think you're 1 and you're 7 got crossed on our notes, but it was $700,000 that he signed. Still a low amount for San Jose. So he's back. We'll see how they do. And we'll see if San Jose can, you know, get back into it, because right now they're in last place in the Pacific. But with that, the Ducks have a 3-game road trip coming up. They're going to play Pittsburgh and Columbus. And then the Ducks are going to go to Boston on Columbus Day, which we are having a watch party at El Ranchito. The game is at 10 a.m., so it is an early game. So we're talking about mimosas and hockey for that day. Hopefully you can come out there. That's one of our other sponsors is El Ranchito. And also don't forget to check out patreon.com/ducksandpucks. You can get a $200 gift card from Cool Hockey. Every month we're giving one away as long as you sign up on there and become a member. You can also win game tickets as well. We're giving away at least 2 tickets to a game every single month. So a couple of good things to look for. And we also brought back, the Ducks beat the Sharks, Eddie. We brought back the Sharks choking shirt. A lot of people wanted that. So if you want that, you can go to tpnhockey.com. It is on there. Getting some more of those made. We only had like small and medium left, but the most popular shirt we've ever made, got to make it again. It's probably the 4th or 5th time we're making it. And I know it was just a game and not, you know, going to the playoffs, but hey, it's always fun, to poke fun at the Sharks. So That shirt is still available, Eddie.
It's still a fan favorite from Jerome Aginla, if you guys remember him. Because when I met him in Colorado, he loved that shirt. So I suggest you go pick that one up.
Yeah, I mean, there's only a limited amount again this time. Who knows? Maybe we'll make it in the future for the 5th billionth time. I don't know. But that's still there as well if you want it. So we'll be back again next week. We're going to, like I said, keep trying to do a show every week. Most likely on Tuesday and Wednesday, somewhere in there in the week, we'll have the show out. So look for that. We thank you for all the support, and let's go Ducks.